How can we discern what God's calling is for our lives? Well, for all of us that are born-again believers, we all have a call to proclaim the gospel to the nations and show Christ's love to everyone that we come in contact with. There's also the other callings that we have in our lives, such as being an athlete, what job you're going to do, who you're going to marry, and so many other things that God calls us into. But that big call that we have as believers, it never changes. For Rafa Menzigan, he heard a call from God to come to the U.S. from Brazil in order to chase his dream of being a professional soccer player, or football player, if you're outside of the U.S. But now, as someone who is actually living out that dream with North Carolina FC of the USL League One, Rafa is showing Christ through how he plays on the soccer field. Today, I get to talk with Rafa about his story and how he understood God's calling to come to the U.S. to pursue this dream. Even through some really challenging times and being thousands of miles away from his family in Brazil, he never questioned what God had in store for him. For all of us, I think we can learn so much from his story, so no more delaying. Let's hop right into it today. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Competing for Christ podcast. I am your host, Ken Burke, and today we get to talk to Rafa Menzigan. Rafa, I am so thankful that you got to come on today, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me here in the podcast. Really appreciate your work and the project, just reaching out to people and just spreading the word of God, the gospel. So really, really excited to be here and get our conversation going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, it's an honor to have someone on that has their own Wikipedia page. I looked you up, and first things first, a Wikipedia page about your entire life. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
No, Wikipedia is awesome. It helps a lot. That's for sure.
Yeah. But for the listeners out there, I think the reason we got connected was because Jonathan Ricketts, you play with him in Chattanooga, right?
Yes, correct. What a guy. Great, great person, great player. We met like when I first came to the U.S., he and his family is just class people, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to have you on because I think you have a really good insight into understanding God's call for not only yourself as an athlete, but yourself as a Christian too, and what your call is as a Christian, as a Christ follower. But first off, how have you been able to keep Christ at the center of your life throughout your journey to get to where you are today?
I think this is a very, very good story, because to answer that question, I need to go back in time a little bit. When I was in Brazil, this is probably like 2013, 2014, and I always played soccer there. And of course, like, I had some good moments, some bad moments. One night, I just prayed to God that, like, I wanted him to take me where he needed me, where I could glorify his name. And either like play, study. He was at a time that, like in Brazil, when you're like 17, you really need to kind of like decide, okay, you're going to continue to play, continue to pursue your career, or you're going to go to like studying school. It's not like here in the U.S. where you do like college and you still play at a high level and pursue your degree. So I prayed that. And at the time, I didn't speak English or anything. And I think out of that prayer, like out of just started like hearing the word of God, and it's just out of nowhere. Like, a friend, he reached out to me. He said, look, I've went to the U.S. I got a scholarship to play. I think you should try that. And I was like, well, maybe I'll give it a try, but I don't know any English. I don't know how I'm going to do any of the tests or anything. And throughout the whole journey, I just prayed to God, God, like, is this your promise for me? Is this what you want for me? Like, I'll leave everything behind. I'll leave family, friends. I'll work as hard as I can, I'll study, I'll find a way, but I need to know if this is what you want for my life. And I just kept praying and working hard, and God just kept opening doors. Like, first come to this country, not speaking the language, and finding people that always helped me learn the culture, learn the language, open doors, like college, soccer, after that, like professional, outside life, friends, like found my wife, and now she's pregnant. So like, now that I look back, like, God was in the center of it all, since from the first night that I prayed back in 2014. up to this day, it was all his plan, and it was just me being faithful and following along. And even though there was like some, of course, high and low moments, he was with me throughout the whole journey.
Yeah. How is the Christian, how was the culture in Brazil about Christianity? Were you always a Christian, or did you grow up in that?
Yeah. So I grew up, my family's Catholic.
Okay.
So I grew up Catholic. My grandma was the one that would actually take me to church and everything. I'd always go with her. My parents were like, they're always Christians, but they didn't like go to church on Sundays. My dad was always busy working. Mom tired. So my grandma was the one that would always like take me to church. And I think like through her and through me, like my parents start going more and more and become more like, I don't say become more Christian, but definitely like raise and grow on their belief and their relationship with Christ. But most of the country is Christian, I would say like 70%. I think it would be probably like a good balance between Catholic and just Protestant, like Methodist, Baptist, all of that. So it's definitely like a very Christian country. And I, since I was like, remember myself, 7, 8 years old, my grandma's already taking me to church. I was already a believer, and I just kept exercising that faith even here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's cool. And for somebody that has never been to Brazil, I really don't know a whole lot about the country. But yeah, how do you feel Christ's presence while you play soccer? Because, I mean, it's got to be tough when you're running like 15 miles of a match. Like, how do you feel his presence while you play?
No, it's hard. And of course, like, it's a thing that you need to constantly like exercise of like, okay, I need to call on Christ to give me strength, or sometimes doing pain, or when you're tired and all of that. But I think it's an exercise that's helpful. Like, if you really can, look, Jesus, help me here. Now I'm really tired. I feel pain. I don't know if I can keep going, but I'll do my best. And at the end of the day, what's been helping me, because I always, in the beginning of my professional career, especially, I always put so much pressure on me, even in college, like, no, I need to do better. I need to be better. I can't make those mistakes. And of course, to get to this level, you need to be accountable for your mistakes and strive to get better. But you need to balance that with the thought of like, Jesus already did everything for me. Like, he already died on the cross. He already, it's done. Honestly, like, it's done. And if I do everything I can to the best of my ability and I glorify him, one way or another, something good's going to happen. And they're going to play good and glorify him. Or when I don't play good, like I said, like, my mindset, okay, it's already done. Like, I'm not perfect. Christ is perfect, and he died for me. I'm going to have bad nights. I'm going to have good nights. The most important thing is I do my best for him, for my family, and I continue to glorify him. So I think that exercise of trusting God, calling the name of Christ, like, help me in even throughout the match is really helpful for your mindset. It releases stress and anxiety, and gives you more endurance for sure.
Yeah, that's what I, when I was an athlete, that was definitely something that really helped me, was when I grew my relationship with Christ. Kind of, it took all the pressure off you. It took all the like anxieties and pressures and just things that really weigh you down as an athlete, and it really frees you up to play your best. But Rafa, when you initially felt that call to come to America, was there any hesitation to come, or were you just all in and you knew it was God's plan for you?
I don't know if hesitation, there was definitely some fear, Ken. I'll tell you that. Like, I think I was young, so I was 18. So of course, he was super like pumped, all America. I had only left Brazil with my grandma once to visit an uncle in Spain. But other than that, my whole life in Brazil, didn't speak any English. So I was definitely like scared more than anything. I was really excited to come and see and try it out. Because I think I'm very like adventurous person. I like to try new things and adapt. But I was scared. I remember that flight. I landed in Atlanta at that time.
Oh,
and when I landed, I was so like scared, man. Like, yeah. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know where to go, where to take. It was like a shuttle that I had to take to Chattanooga at the time, where Steven and our other friend Kevin were going to pick me up. So just to get out of the airport, go through like the immigration police and get the bags, find the shuttle. I think it took me like 4 hours, man.
No.
I was like scared and just like, of course, really excited, but scared, and just hoping that everything would go well. But I think from there, like I said, even from day one, like God put some people on my path that helped me so much, and I'm so thankful for them.
Yeah, and it does not help that you landed in Atlanta, which is like one of the busiest airports in the world. Yeah. That's terrible.
I was so lost. But
what was the hardest part of coming to America from Brazil? Like, was it the language barrier? Was it the culture shock? Or just what would you say?
I think in the beginning, a little bit of the food. Like, I miss mom's Brazilian cooking food. But I think a few months adapted to that. The language in the beginning was tough, but when you're in an environment, especially in Tennessee, where you just class, teammates, I had a German and a Costa Rican friend, especially the Costa Rican friend, because he speaks Spanish, helped me a lot in that transition. So I would say, like, with 3 months, the language wasn't a problem anymore. Of course, I still have an accent, probably will always have an accent, I still struggle a little bit, but it was pretty, like, outgoing, trying to talk, even if I was making mistakes. All the time I was able to communicate my message, understand some of it. So after 3-4 months, that was okay. And then it was just missing the family, man, because all my family was in Brazil. I had no one here. So it was definitely those days where I'd feel like a little homesick because I miss my mom, my sister, my dad, especially. It's all things that with time you learn to deal with. Technology helps a lot, and I'm thankful for it.
How often do you get to see your family?
Yeah, usually once a year. Sometimes my mom and my sister are able to come here. My dad doesn't get on plane, so he's never been here. But I usually try to go at least once a year to Brazil and see everyone.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And yeah, definitely technology helps nowadays. It just connects people so much. But Rafa, you know, the reason I wanted to have you on today, like I said, was we want to talk about understanding Christ's call for our lives. And like we've just been talking about, you felt a call to come to America to pursue your dream of playing professionally. But how can athletes understand what Christ is calling them to in their lives?
I think a lot of the times we pray to, like, talk to God and, like, ask, like, okay, show me the way, show me the path. And sometimes we don't see, sometimes not so clear. So I think I encourage people, even myself, and to get better at that, like, reading the Bible, because I think that's when God talks to us through the Bible. Like, you're going to see verse, you're going to see stories of, like, even, like, when you, I feel like the Bible has the answer for everything. Like, when I was worried about coming here, like, and like, okay, like, God, I prayed, you promised me you're gonna, like, fulfill my dreams of pursuing my professional aspiration of become a soccer player, so I need to trust you, and in the Bible, it's there, like, leave, even if you have to leave your parents, go, and God will give you everything you need, he will take care of you, and he's done everything for me, he gave me friends, he gave me a wife, a son now. I became a professional soccer player, which I always dreamed that of since I was little. So, I mean, all the glory goes to him. And going back to your questions, like, how can we feel that call to Christ to do? I think it's just through prayer and reading the Bible, because I think the deepest your relationship with God is, the clearer you have of a picture, a plan that he has for your life, even if it's playing or preaching or serving, whatever it might be, but he definitely has a plan for your life.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's something that I was thinking about when thinking about this question. Like, we all have different individual calls, whether, you know, playing professional soccer or being a preacher or going into business. It's, we all have these callings that are individualistic to us, but we all as Christians have the calling to share the gospel and show Christ through whatever we do, which is, It's so awesome to serve a God that allows us to have those individual calls, but we still are all connected by that massive call. But, you know, for yourself, you recently won the USL League One final, something that has been a long journey to get that trophy for sure. You played in 4 semifinals and 2 finals before actually winning it. But what emotions were you feeling when you finally won that last year?
Oh, that was definitely a long one coming. Yeah. Like, I was really, like, ready to win a title here because I had never won anything in college or in my professional career, like you said, like four semifinals, few playoffs, but never had won anything. And the feeling is just is unbelievable. Like you really have to feel the experience, especially for me, because I was so close so many times and was never able to actually like win. And I remember the end of the game, we're actually down 1-0. And I was like, again, like, there's no way, like, God, like, you really don't want me to win this one? I really thought, like, it was my time, and I'm here, like, back-to-back, because we got second place the year before, and I was really frustrated, because it was going great, and I was praying, I was like, God, I think it's now, it's my year, this is 2022, and then we lose on the final, and I was, like, really frustrated, but trusting God, I was like, okay, let's keep going. And then this year again, the final losing is like, no, there's no way. Then we go to tie the game and win in PKs, and it was one of the craziest feelings. Like, I was just so happy, running, screaming everywhere, just really, really happy. And it just shows that God's time is perfect. It's not my time. I would love to win in 2022. I would love to win in 2019 when I first reached the semifinal, but it wasn't God's time for me yet. And last year it was, and it was definitely more mature, could understand more the process, could understand the importance of it. Because once you go through all like those, I guess you can say failures, which is, I don't really consider failure, but once you go through all those defeats in big games, it really makes you value like the how big it is to actually be a champion and win. So very, very great feeling.
How do you think, have you thought about like how you would think about that championship if you weren't a Christian?
I think it would have a lot less meaning, like I said, like because I went through those defeats, I went through those questions, I prayed about it, like, okay, God, what do I need to do different? Do I deserve it? And all of that. And like I said, it just shows me that, of course, it's really important to win the championship because it's my profession, it's what I train for and I pray for every day. But also, like I've mentioned before, like that's just this small if we compare to the picture of my life and what I need to do and how I need to glorify God and the importance of He's there for me, like He saved me, He's done everything for me. So if I win here on earth or if I don't win, I still worth the same for Him. And I think like winning shows that, but even when you lose, it's even more important that you have that Christian belief and faith to really grasp on and be like, okay, I lost, but that doesn't change my relationship with Christ. That doesn't change how He sees me. That doesn't change His love for me. So definitely changes how you view those things.
Yeah, I'm sure you viewed that championship so differently than somebody, maybe even on your team that wasn't a Christian, that, you know, worked so hard to get there, and maybe they found it and they weren't so satisfied because they thought it would be more about, you know, about themselves or about just having that feeling of satisfaction. But yeah, that's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. But I think your journey really reminds me of Matthew 6, 33-34. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." How have you been able to not only seek His kingdom, but stay in the present and not look for tomorrow?
This is a great verse, and I think, I mean, sorry for the term, but I think it's kind of like a slap on our faces as Christians.
Yeah.
Because of course, like from outside, you're like, wow, he was seeking His kingdom, and good things happened to him, or his career, he was a champion. But so many times, like, I doubted, I had questions, I had fears, and every time God's came through and show me again, look, I'm here for you. You think this? No, this is my promise for you. Oh, you think you're done? No, look. Like, there was a time where, like, I think this is 2021, when I had two big injuries and I barely played the whole year. So I was going into my second year of my contract, really, like, feeling like, oh, if I keep getting injured, this might be my last year playing. Like, I don't know at this level, if you 2 years without barely playing, like, you're probably not going to have any good offers or anything. So I was really, like, doubting and worried about, like, okay, what am I gonna do next? Like, am I gonna go to work in an office or to coaching? I should start thinking of other stuff. And then comes 2022, and I had like an unbelievable season where I played really well, scored really important goals, took our team to the final. So like that was just one example. There's many others where like I was worried and anxious or fearing the future, and God was like, no, this is not it. Like, I have more for you. I have better things for you. Like, just trust, leave the present. I'm giving you the present, enjoy it. And tomorrow I'm going to take care. I got you. Like, you worry about financially. No, tomorrow I'm going to deliver. You worry about your body, I'm going to make you healthy. You worry about a job, I'm going to find you. You worry about family, I'm going to find a way to be there. Like, God delivers in so many ways. And I think this verse is amazing to see that, like, he's giving us the present. Let's enjoy the present. Let's glorify him. And tomorrow he's going to have something else for us. I have no doubt.
Yeah, that's awesome. I couldn't have said that better myself, for sure. It's so easy to worry about tomorrow and worry about the future, especially in today's culture and today's world, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But yeah, just relying on God in the present is so much more crucial than spending time worrying about the future, because like the verse says, it has enough problems on its own. But, you know, Rafa, this has been awesome talking with you. I can't thank you enough for coming on today. I have one last question for you that I think that our listeners would love to hear. What advice would you give to the young players out there, maybe even in Brazil or in Kenya or all anywhere in the world, about pursuing their dreams just like you did?
Well, first, I think we talked a lot here, like trust God, seek his kingdom, a relationship with him. Read the Bible, because that's going to help a lot, especially in the low moments. Because in the high moments in soccer or in sports, everyone loves you, the media loves you, your teammates, your coaches, your agent loves you. But you're going to have low moments, and then who's going to be by you? Who's going to be giving you strength? And that's Jesus. That's a relationship with Christ that's going to take you out of those low moments. And second, I think, like, if you're really serious, just pursue your dream. Just like work harder than everyone else. Like, look at the team. Who's the guy that works hard? I'm going to work harder than him. Work harder than everyone else. Don't give up, because the longer you stay with it, especially through the low moments, the more people are going to give up. So work harder than everyone else. Don't give up and trust God. And I think those three things, man, it's going to work out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good word. Yeah, Rafa, I'm like I said before, thank you so much for coming on today. It was been a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm just wishing you good luck for next season, and congratulations for you and your wife. That's so cool that you're expecting a son. That's so cool.
Thank you, Ken. That definitely brings a new perspective to life. I'm really excited about it. It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for having me in your podcast, and I hope the listeners really like it.
For all you listening out there, please make sure to share this episode and subscribe to the show. Please share with one athlete that you know. It will go such a long way for us. But if you don't get anything else from this, just remember this. Jesus loves you, and he's going to fight for you no matter what. Talk to y'all next time.